Just this last Friday, terrorists in Paris killed and hurt hundreds of people, setting off suicide bombs and holding people hostage and shooting them in a theater. And they probably had many, many reasons for doing this. But one of the reasons they had for doing this was because they want everyone in the world to think and behave and believe just the way they do and worship just the way they do. And they were willing to kill to make that happen. This is not the first time this has happened in history. This is a picture of Alexander the Great's empire. Alexander the Great was a Greek king who was from Macedonia, up here in Greece. And he began his conquest of the world, traveling across what is Turkey today, Iraq, Persia, which is today called Iran, all the way up to India and the Himalayan mountains, and down into Egypt here, going over Israel, Palestine. Right here you see Jerusalem. And he conquered the known world, and as he did so, he exalted himself. He made himself into a god. He went out into the desert, into a shrine out here in the desert in the Sahara, and had one of the oracles, one of the priests out there, make him into a god, and he asked to be worshipped as such, for he was such a great man in his eyes. And then he promptly died. But before he died, he divided his empire up between his generals. And so the map of the world looked like this at the time. And we have the five different generals that the world was divided into. Cassander and Lysimachus up here in Greece, Antigonus in what is today Turkey, Ptolemy down in Egypt, and Seleucus in Iraq and Iran, what is today Iraq and Iran, but Persia at the time. And here, right in smack dab in the middle, in between these three big empires, is Israel, Judah, and the temple. Now, you can see here that at the height of his empire, it was 323 BC, 323 years before Christ. And for the next 200 years, these generals, the people who divided up Alexander's empire, would fight back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and the highway over which they would trod with their boots and their armies and their chariots and their elephants was Israel, back and forth for years and years and years. Until we get to the time of one Seleucid general, one Seleucid emperor and king named Antiochus the Fourth Epiphany, who named himself Epiphany because Epiphany literally means the manifestation of God. He thought he was God's gift to humankind. That's what he wrote on his coins. This is a picture of him right here. And that's what he wrote on his coins. Antiochus went down into Egypt, trampling over Judah and Jerusalem, down into Egypt, defeated Ptolemy and the kings down there, and on his way back, he decided that it was very important that everyone in his empire think and believe and worship and behave exactly like him and the rest of the Greeks. And he was willing to kill to make that happen. And so, Antiochus, who styled himself as the manifestation of God, said, "You must all worship like me." And he told the Jews at the time, no more sacrifices in the temple, no more priests who worship God, no more Sabbath day, no more kosher food, no more circumcision. And some of the people in the Jews at the time said, okay, I guess we can do that. But many, many, many of them said, wait a second. We cannot give up the very things that God has asked us to do. And so they fled into the wilderness. But Antiochus was so intent on making everyone worship and believe and behave just like him, that he sent his army out into the desert, out into the wilderness, into the caves and the holes and the cracks where the people of God were hiding and hunted them down and killed them because they worshiped God. There's a book in the Bible about this episode in the history of God's people. We don't read from it very often, but it is there. It's called 1 Maccabees. There's several of them, but I will read you a passage about this event from Maccabees. Alas, why was I born to see this? The ruin of my people, the ruin of the holy city, and to live there when it is given over to the enemy, the sanctuary given over to aliens. Her temple has become like a person without honor. Her glorious vessels have been carried into exile. Her infants have been killed in her streets, her youths by the sword of the foe. What nation has not inherited her palaces? What nation has not seized her spoils? All her adornment has been taken away. She is no longer free. She has become a slave. And see, our holy place, our beauty, and our glory have been laid waste. The Gentiles have profaned them. Why should we live any longer? To top it all off, Antiochus set up in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, the holiest place where God's presence is known to the Jews at the time, set up a statue to Zeus and made all of the people in Jerusalem go and worship there and pay homage to Zeus. He even sacrificed pigs on the altar, which are unclean animals for the Jews. And this is the desolation, the sacrilege that the writer of Maccabees is talking about. The people of God at this time are asking themselves, where is God? How is this happening? What has caused all this violence? The very place where God is supposed to be in the temple is the very place where he is no longer being worshipped. And all the people who are worshipping false gods and idols are there. What does this mean? What does this mean? And it was in this specific time then, the time where the people are under tremendous threat for believing and holding faithfulness to God, that the book of Daniel was written and the reading that we had this morning was written. Think now, the book of Daniel. It was for just as such a time that the book of Daniel was written. For what happens to Daniel? The king says, worship me. And Daniel says, I cannot do that. And so he's thrown into the lion's den and protected by God's angel and comes out alive. It is just such a time as Antiochus that the people of God needed to hear that story again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar set up the golden statue and said, you must all worship the golden statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we cannot. And they said, even if we die, we will not bow down to the golden idol that you have set up. And so into the furnace they go. And God protects them from the fiery furnace. It was just as such a time as this, when King Antiochus had desecrated the temple, that the people of God needed to remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so the writer of Daniel wrote it down one more time, to encourage them to say, remember, God is in charge. Even when the empire seems like it's in charge, when there are people like this who think that they are God's gift to humanity, remember, God is in charge. And there was a warning as well. A warning to those who had acquiesced. A warning to those who had gone over to false worship and false idols. There was a warning as well in Daniel to those people at that time. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. He was warning them. God sees those who have forsaken God. So stand firm. Remember Daniel in the lion's den. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that God is faithful and that God is in charge. Remember. God will bring justice upon those who are persecuting, those who would perpetrate violence against believers. So stay faithful like the wise. Even though you die, God does not forget you. This is what Daniel says. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness in the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. A promise that even though you may lose your life in a situation where tyrants like Antiochus are raging, God does not forget you. God will not forget you, for God is ultimately in charge. And so, that is the good news for us today. That God is in charge. Though nation rise against nation, God is in charge. Though kingdom rise against kingdom and there be wars and rumors of wars, God is in charge. Though people might think that they can force us to act and believe and worship and even go to the length of killing people to try and make us to do it, God is in charge. And it is for such a day as today that we need to remember that. Amen.